Oh, man. You can use the little
what?
Octopi to zap the shit. Oh, it's so good. Oh, God. I'm playing it. I'm playing it right now, and it's the best.
It sounds like the best. I can
you
tell.
Use your Waluigi uses his powers of his mind to defeat enemies. It's platforming, but you grab dudes. Oh man,
is this making you like Waluigi?
Yes, it's happening.
It is happening right now, live. Was it good for you?
Oh, so good.
Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, gamertag J-Devil, and it is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2011. That means it's the first week of the month, so we're going to recap all the headlines of the previous month of October and try and figure out if any of those headlines are actually going to matter going forward. A little smaller crew this evening. We've got Josh Lee.
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Oh, that was weird. I was going to ask you that next. That's like a superpower, Evil Josh Lee. And Justin Gifford's also here.
Howdy, fellas.
And no, that's it. The rest of the crew is kind of under the weather this evening, so we're going to power through these headlines. But first, we'll kick things off with game industry shoutouts, where we call out something that's had attention in the game industry for us in the last week or so. Then take our on-the-spot question, our weekly question to get warmed up. Dive into 6 to 10 headlines, whatever we can get through in the time that we have here, and try to decide if any of those headlines matter. Wrap up the show with HorribleNight.com updates, and then take a break and come back for a little off-topic discussion for our threesomes of the week. And so let's get rolling here, Joshua, with your game industry shout out.
I would like to give a big ups to the homies at the Nintendo Community Fan Game Convention.
What do you pour 2011? Out? What do you pour out for those homies? An energy drink of some sort?
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
20 ounce Mountain Dews.
Squeeze it.
Capri Suns. I just discovered this. I didn't actually attend this convention. No one did really. It was online. I didn't attend it virtually either.
You need a better name for that then. I don't think convention seems to be an event you can personally attend rather than online. They need to come up with a new name for this.
They have booths. Booths and
virtual
they're
booths
online. They are okay. Virtual booths.
Was it like a website where you navigate a show floor through using the keyboard?
Not exactly. That would have been cool if they'd had some sort of like a little first person that's not possible probably. But they were doing live streams. There are all these you can take these like little tours, video tours of these games and stuff. This apparently is like the fourth year they've done this thing. I wish I'd heard of it before because I'm looking at all the games they've got, and I've tried a couple and they're amazing. These are all fan games. None of this is officially sanctioned. I'm guessing at some point Nintendo would have seen this and it's not been shut down yet, but it's definitely not sanctioned. And I'd seen some of these projects that are being showcased. I'd seen stuff before, like the project AM2R. That's the it's like the remake of Metroid 2, Return of Samus, in what is essentially the like Zero Mission kind of engine. They do custom sprite work and stuff like that. And so all these games, and there's these different Zelda adventures, and a lot of some of them will use art assets from the 16-bit era. Some of them are redrawn, but tons of Mario stuff in there. And these are all playable, either a full version of the game or a demo. And just before we started recording, I was playing Psycho Waluigi.
The best kind of Waluigi.
Yes. And
I speak from experience.
Yeah, that's right. You are Waluigi.
I would like to be.
Well, you dress up like him.
Actually, no, I have a funny story, and I'm going to call him out because he listens to this damn show. So, not to cut your story off, because all that sounds awesome, and I can't wait to play more of those games. So, how many of them are out there for playable before I get to my story?
Oh, there's I don't know, there's something like 30-some games here or something.
So. Yeah, and you're right, enjoy it while it lasts, because as soon as it gets big enough, Nintendo will shut it down. Yeah, so I dressed up as Waluigi for Halloween. I was the origin of the costume was basically I did a Google search and found out that one existed, and I was like, that's ridiculous. So I bought it. And Waluigi is I defend him all the time, but he really is the worst video game character. And has just like Toad. There's at least some Slippy Toad's annoying, but there's more justification for his character than Waluigi just is completely unoriginal. Anyway, so I dress up as Waluigi, and I wore my Waluigi hat into the office on Halloween Day, and one of my developers made a comment about, he's like, man, if you're gonna do cosplay right, and I was like, this isn't cosplay, this is a Halloween costume. He's like, but still, if you're gonna do cosplay right, you've got to pick characters that kind of match your body type. And I looked at him.
Punched you in the throat.
And I said, so what are you trying to say? He's like, well, you could have been Wario. And I was like, Wario came with an extra gut. What are you trying to say? And he walked out of the room. So
I like this guy.
I did think about the Wario costume, but Waluigi was more ridiculous. And
by far, yes.
The mustache, if you can tell in my current Twitter picture, the mustache actually goes up to the hat, like above my eyes. It is
and pretty. Folks, you haven't seen anything until you've seen Waluigi playing Dance Central 2.
I was also rapping for Def Jam Rap Star.
That was pretty sweet.
And we have some good guitar shots during Rock Band. But that's my favorite part about Halloween, is playing these ridiculous party games in costume. So yeah, it was pretty entertaining. Let's go to Gifford's shout out.
My shout out is to Criterion, because although I haven't tried it yet, I was showing my fiance a couple of games I have downloaded, aside from Rock Band, that she really wants to, or that she might enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't really interested in Burnout Crash until I said, oh, there's also a version of Kinect where you can use your hands as a steering wheel. And she goes, have you ever done that? And I was like, no. She said, well, so you'd suck at it. And I said, yeah. She goes, okay, we might be able to play that sometime.
That's funny.
At the same time, after that same party, she also said, I think we need to spend like 5 hours on a Saturday sometime playing Rock Band 2 so we can practice.
You want Rock Band 2? I've got that
date. No, I have Rock Band 2.
Okay.
She just, having played it at the party, she went, okay, I want to practice.
I love Rock Band.
Why 2 and not 3?
Because I don't have 3?
Because they didn't play very much of 2.
But, fair enough.
But
I love Rock Band. I'm just not I'm not compelled to buy 3.
He doesn't have 20-plus gigs of downloaded music like some people on this podcast.
I don't have 20, but I'll bet I've got 10.
Oh, nice. Bigger fan than I thought. You were kind of onto something, though. I think that as far as like finding new games or explaining kind of the popularity of Wii and Kinect and those types of experiences, when the ground is leveled as far as like experienced gamers compared to new gamers, I think that's a lot more attractive for especially our significant others that haven't played games. And it's kind of a fair question is, oh, so you've never done this before. I think I might stand a chance here, and it might be worth both of us trying rather than I know one of my issues is I tend to try to help people play games, but it comes across as kind of negative the way I do it. So starting from the same level makes it a little bit more fun for people.
The sighing and the rolling of the eyes, not good.
The ripping of the controller out of their hands.
Yeah, just let me do it. Well, I mean, and at that same party, one of my friends who plays way fewer games than Carrie does, I said, here, play Fruit Ninja with me. And she could just step up and play it.
Dude, Fruit Ninja rocked the party, actually. Don't underestimate that game. But
I'm just glad nobody went home with a broken nose. I'm not going to lie.
I'm still fascinated, though, that put on any regular game and one or two people will play it in a party of like 20 and everybody else will ignore it. But put on some Kinect game that they haven't seen before and people will watch for a while. Like there was always, even during Fruit Ninja, which is pretty self-explanatory, like there's a crowd of people watching as well as people playing. So
that has nothing to do with video games. If you just had somebody standing in the middle of a room at a party and just flapping their arms in the air, like everyone would watch that too.
I think they would. I think more people would watch that though.
That guy having?
So is it? Do you think they're? I mean, that's a fair question. Do you think they're just standing around until they figure out what's going on? Is that more of the curiosity?
It's. Well, I mean, people, I think people like to watch other people look stupid.
That's or that.
It. I think it's the same effect as a batting cage, though. I'm horrible at baseball, but show up a batting cage, I'm going to go try and hit the ball. And same kind of thing.
That would be an interesting Halloween party at a batting cage.
Well, if you'd stop spending all your money on our web hosting.
That's got to keep the site up. Maybe I should look for a better deal. What do you think?
Stop buying $9,000 URLs and then maybe you can afford several months of hosting.
Oh, you mean they come cheaper than that? I've been screwed.
With GoDaddy.com, you can save lots of...
Yeah, I think Danica Patrick actually registers my domain every day. That's why I... Personally, so I think that's why I have to pay for it.
She can register my domains.
Drive off with your domains, probably. Sure. Yes, racing jokes. This early in the show. Racing domain name jokes. Where are we going to go from here? We're going to go to the next Humble Indie Bundle has been announced. They've been focusing these Humble Bundles on specific games at recently. And the Humble Bundles have been, they're one of those group packages of games that you can buy at what, and you name your price and the proceeds go to charity. And they've been successful at raising millions of dollars for charity and also promoting a lot of great indie games. And so they announced the latest bundle this week with Foxitron and recently also added today, I believe, yesterday, the Binding of Isaac and Blocks That Matter. And Binding of Isaac's a game that we've talked about quite a bit, and Blocks That Matter is also another indie game that has gotten pretty good reviews and I haven't got to try out yet, but made me excited, and I think I'm going to jump in on this bundle because I did not get in on the last one. But the Humble guys have been doing a lot of great things.
I bought it. I paid like $4. I've bought like four of these things now, I think.
Yeah.
Varying degrees of, you know, money, depending on how much I've got, you know, to spare for the, you know, charity stuff. But it's like, well, I don't have a ton to spend right now, but I'll throw them something. I'll get games out of it. And, you know, and it's like when I looked earlier, there were like 71,000 people that had purchased. That's average crazy. Price was about $4. And, you know, that they raise just a poop ton of money. And I'm sure most people probably do the average split. And there are, you know, percentages that go to. You know, there's like the charity, there's Child's Play, then there's what, Electronic Frontier Foundation, There's like a small tip for the Humble Bundle guys, and then there's the split between the developers of the games. So, you know, it breaks down. It's, you know, not a ton of, you know, it's like 70 cents a piece or something like that. And but when you have so many people buying these things, mm-hmm. it's the Steam thing, you know, with all the Steam sale stuff that Gabe Newell said, you know, he's like, if you just make something real cheap and you get a whole bunch more people buy it and then you make money. So
it's crazy. But they've also done a great job of packaging together really great games. Like these aren't, you know, these are the top tier of the indie titles that are out there, it seems. And have you played any Voxatron yet?
No, I didn't get a chance to play any of this stuff, but I actually got it because they added Binding of Isaac today, okay. So that's okay. Why.
I was going to ask you if...
but it does look cool.
Because when you buy the original bundle, like the other day when it was just Voxatron, mm-hmm. You get the games that they add to it later, right? Is that how that works?
I know that's how it worked for me one time when I bought before stuff got added in. But it's like once it gets added in... Now, in order to get the extra games, you have to pay above the – at least you have to meet the average. So you could be like, oh, I'm going to pay, you know, a dollar or something. Well, you don't get the extra stuff. You just get what the original bundle was.
Gotcha. All right, moving on to our on-the-spot question. Kind of some sad news that's been kind of going around this week as far as we don't like to hear about layoffs, especially at companies that we once adored, like Silicon Knights, but Silicon Knights has been going through a lot of issues lately. And their latest game, X-Men Destiny, was not well received, and then they had all those issues with around Too Human. So, besides cutting back on Dennis Dyack, their infamous director,
which we should add was added after some discussion on this topic, is not.
I thought it was obvious when I came up with the question. No, we're all three kind of Silicon Knights fans throughout history, and I thought I'd be curious to see how would you guys fix Silicon Knights besides getting rid of Dennis Dyack. Anybody, Giffer, go.
You really shouldn't take this the wrong way because I'm talking about Eternal Darkness, which is one of Ethan and my favorite games of all time. And my younger brother would be a third on that. But go back to copying Capcom instead of Ravensoft, who did the first X-Men Alliance game, I think.
Yeah.
Just because, although Eternal Darkness was in no way a copy of Resident Evil. It had some similarities with it, and Eternal Darkness was awesome. On the other hand,
are you lifting weights? What are you doing?
I got dog hair on my face. Sorry.
Okay.
On the other hand, Too Human had some issues, and from what I have heard about the new X-Men game, it is just no bueno. So, yeah, my biggest recommendation is go back, follow the Eternal Darkness idea. I mean, hell, we want a remake, but go back to that more isometric, less action. And to be fair, the controls on Eternal Darkness were so much better than Resident Evil. But stop trying to do action stuff because you're just not good at it.
Josh, what do you think? Wow.
Is there really anything here to save? I mean, I liked Blood Omen, first Legacy of Kain, you know.
I wonder how many members are left from that team, though.
Yeah, right. You know, that was like, oh, God, I don't know what year that was. Something like, it's like 95, 96. And that wasn't even the best game in that series after somebody else took it over. I liked Eternal Darkness a lot. That was the thing that made me go, you know, oh, yeah, Silicon Knights. I also liked the Twin Snakes just because I really liked Metal Gear Solid, and I didn't mind the you know, supposedly crappier cutscenes and over the top, you know, jumping over missiles and shit. I didn't really mind that stuff, and it was a better looking version of, you know, Metal Gear Solid. So I liked it, but you know, were they the only people that could do that? I don't know about that. So, you know, Too Human was the concept I thought was neat, but it's anybody can come up with a concept. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure that it's worth saving, is what I'm trying to say. I'm real sorry, Dennis.
Just make sure that the Eternal Darkness name gets passed to somebody.
Somebody else.
Okay. Right. My fix was actually going to be become a second party. Like, become buddy-buddy with one of the big three and be a second party studio and get some flexibility around your budgets. I feel like, you know, they obviously blew it with Too Human as far as budget and release date and jumping consoles and all of that, set them up for failure. And then obviously there's something else going on with their deal with Activision to do X-Men Destiny, which had a promising premise in my opinion, but was obviously had some issues. So I think there's, you know, assuming that core team is there that even came up with Too Human, because Too Human had a lot of fucking promise.
Oh, I pre-ordered that bitch.
And
I was really excited about that game.
And maybe it's just getting Dennis Dyack a boss, you know, and let him do only what he's good at and have him shut his mouth.
That's a start.
But I don't know. I say this because I don't like to see any company shutter, let alone ones that I've kind of grown attached to over the years. And I have two, you know, the Legacy of Kain series and Eternal Darkness, that are franchises I'm really attached to. And I was curious to see, like, their ideas for Too Human going to more competent developers or whatever it is, that there's still some talent somewhere in there that maybe deserves another shot. So, but we shall see.
Yeah, that the licensing issues that are inherent with, you know, like the Marvel stuff and, you know, the publishers, they're trying to keep those licenses alive so they don't, you know, revert back to original, you know, owners, stuff like that. That very well could have been the main contributing factor to Destiny shipping in that supposedly kind of not feature complete kind of state, you know, just kind of, it sounded like it was just really bare bones in a lot of ways. And again, I didn't play it, but I've seen it in action and read reviews and stuff. And it seems a lot like product of that.
You know, Activision has a lot of those deals where they have to make a certain amount of games to keep their deals going. And I'm sure they had to make an X-Men game this year or whatever it was. And, Silicon Knights is not the type of developer that is good with those types of deadlines or that type of creative restriction. Granted, they did need to be kind of pulled back from, you know, having the world at their disposal and getting into another Too Human type of situation. But I think in between those situations, like, get them, well, I don't know what the, you know, I guess Eternal Darkness took forever to develop, but whatever the creative state was around that game, they might be able to flourish again. So,
well, do we know when they started working on X-Men Destiny? Was it like right after Too Human?
I mean, yeah. Even if you look at that, it's got to be,
because that was like 2008. So, you know, if that was the case, they had 3 years. 3 years, yeah. You can make a game.
I doubt it. I mean, I would doubt that it. I don't know. I doubt that it was 3 years. It just doesn't look like a game that.
No, it doesn't. But if it was, that was, I didn't know how much you knew about.
No, but I wonder what they're doing in between. That's a good point. So, anyway,
getting angry on the message boards.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna move on to our headlines of October discussion. Each month we like to kind of cull through our shiniest objects posts or any headline posts we've had on our site and revisit some of the major stories and try to determine if any of these headlines matter, because a lot of the industry coverage out there kind of is very reactive, especially when big stories break, and it's kind of interesting to see if they had the immediate impact that we were assuming was going to happen when they were announced a few weeks later and try to see if any of these are worth talking about past this month. So our first headline is going to be from Josh.
Oh, and this is a sad one. Nintendo.
Who?
Nintendo. Or Nintendo, if it's 1985.
I used to call them that.
Sales of Tendo tapes are down. they've just posted their first annual loss in over 30 years, which really? Is crazy.
So they did not, that means they didn't have a loss during the GameCube years. I never realized yes. that. I never yeah. realized that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess not. GameCube was awesome.
Well, what they had, their handheld stuff was cooking.
Good point.
At the time.
That's why.
They originally, their original estimate for the ending of the fiscal year was going to be a $264 million profit. And that was readjusted.
That was readjusted a little bit ago, too.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, it looks like now it is.
Because hey guys, it's up to
like 926 million, almost $1 billion losses.
I mean, look out there in the Nintendo landscape. The only thing that has my attention is the latest Kirby game. I was wandering around the store today. I was like, I kind of want to play that, but like, there should be multiple games that are pulling your attention at all times, and Nintendo just they've dried up on the software side. And then we all know that we've talked about the 3DS issues. It's just, I don't know what their quick win is here. Like, I can't imagine they are optimistic about the Wii U at this point. Like,
well, see, that's the thing. They, oh God, that's a bad idea.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
He said, ask Apple to buy them. That's oh. just terrible. That's, oh God, no. Reggie, says that, they're basically aware of, you know, they say it's the end of the life cycle for the Wii, you know, that's part of the problem. The they recognize that the game, they haven't quite said it like this, at least, you know, Reggie has. I don't know out of Japan what they're saying, but you know, he says that it's, you know, they know that the games is the issue because they're talking about games. They're saying 3DS, look, we have first party games, the big names, they're coming out this holiday season, all that. But then you look at, like, you know, you said the Wii U, and that's going to be coming out next year. We're going to, that it's, if it doesn't sell like hotcakes and the 3DS stuff does not ramp up, yeah, it's going to be really bad. I mean, if it doesn't have a good launch and 3DS, or even just say one of those two things happen, you know, even, it's still going to be really bad for Nintendo. You would have to assume so. Nobody goes from being that successful for that long to posting losses without a whole bunch of things changing. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Nintendo, you know, being, you know, somewhat a traditional, you know, Japanese company, and in their sort of sticking, like, do it our way sort of mentality, I think that, you know, whether or not they now realize, you know, with the 3DS price drop and the apologies coming out with the WADA and stuff like that, that was kind of like unprecedented. But are they really going to do what they need to do to turn it around? And I'm not sure that they can.
Yeah, I have I've been trying to think about what they can do, and I think, I mean, I can only speak from my perspective and my interest in Nintendo products, which I have a pretty substantial DS library. I have a decent Wii library that only trailed off in the last year and a half. I'm not their core audience, I get that, but I still pay attention to their games. But when I look out there at what's been teased for the Wii U, aside from the technology, which is hit or miss with me, and even teased with the 3DS, which, you know, I'll turn the 3D off and I will play those games like I play my DS games, but the library out there and what's on the horizon it's just not very interesting at all. Like, I really feel like their whole business model of kind of rehashing their franchises over and over again is finally getting tired. And they need – they've had innovation on the platforms, but they haven't really had innovation in franchises. They've still kind of, you know, they've had their gameplay moments, but not the – not what we've come to expect from Nintendo. And without that promise of innovation, I don't know what they can do to turn it around at this point. And it's just crazy how fast this has all happened, and you can only hope that, you know, when they were printing money for that many years, that they saved a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, although it sometimes sounds like it, I've never been a Nintendo hater, and I loved my 64 and my GameCube. And, you know, when I heard Nintendo was coming out with a new console, I was really excited about it. And then it was the Wii. And since then, I just haven't had much interest. I mean, I look at the news articles, but it's sort of a letdown where, you know, you guys are Nintendo. Where's the innovation? And I guess you just said that, Justin, but I'm looking for a new IP out there from them that makes me want to play. Like, yeah, Zelda's great, but I'm not going to buy a console for it. On the other, I've played Zelda before. I know the premises. Whereas, you know, with like the Uncharted series on Sony, I would almost, especially with the price drop, I would almost buy a PS3 just to play that series.
I would support your decision if you did that.
Yeah, but you know, who wants to buy? And I think that's what you're getting at. Who wants to buy 3DS for rehashed games?
Right.
Because like that, and that's all the only thing that's coming out. This another Mario Kart game, another Mario game that doesn't look like it's doing anything different. You know, two games that came out on the 64. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's their inability to draw in strong third party support has been biting them in the ass, I think, for a long time.
To grow their characters up.
I don't think it's a matter. I think you keep the characters where they're at. Like, they still need to milk that, you know, that 8 to 12 year old market, but they need new ideas. They need
or have grown up characters, maybe is the better way to put it.
I'm saying new. Like, I still like Mario. Like, Nintendo pulled me back in with Super Mario Galaxy and their ability to reuse some of their characters, but kind of give them new ideas. Like I kind of went through this rut towards the end of the GameCube as well. Like I keep going back to when I started to turn on Nintendo was around Mario Sunshine, but they turned it around with Mario Galaxy, and they just when they seem to be focused. And I'm really curious to see how the new Legend of Zelda game turns out, because I kind of want to be proven wrong here. When they seem to be focused, they can still make amazing games. But they need to stop relying solely on their trusted franchises and show us a lot more new ideas. And I still think that they could excel at, you know, a market in between. You know, we've talked about this on other podcasts about game pricing, but like, they could really excel in the $20 to $30 range for video games. Not like – I'm not asking them to make indie games or budget titles, but, you know, they could excel at – they're great at gameplay. And if they could make a smaller games that are excellent with gameplay innovation and then building off of those to fund bigger ideas and bigger games, I think they could – they need to change their perspective.
That's exactly how I feel about them. And they target the casual audience. They don't go after the hardcore guys. Even when they say sometimes, oh, we got games for the hardcore guys. You don't. And the casual crowd is getting – they're getting used to playing games for free or paying 99 cents for a game, mm-hmm. on iOS devices, or, you know, playing games on Facebook and all that kind of crap. And when everybody's getting these other devices where they can get their little game fixes, and once the kind of shiny newness of the, you know, the waggle, you know, on the couch kind of thing is, you know, the shine's gone off of that thing. Where do they sit? Like, you know, they're still selling, you know, $50 Mario games to, right, you know, millions of people, like, you know, every year. And like that, And that's not even enough then, you know?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Griff.
I was going to say, Josh, I think you really hit the nail on the head with that iOS and Android and Facebook, whatever, competition. I think that is maybe not prescient, but an excellent observation.
But they're too stubborn. They're not going to go that route. So I think but I do think they need to go in between. That's why I kind of said the $20 to $30 range. Because like if you look at like what Pikmin was when it came out, like make your next Pikmin, whatever that franchise is, whatever that innovation is, make that idea for like 20 and sell it for $25. Don't try to pitch the full game. Like scale it back. Give me half of what that game was. But make it $25 and make more of stuff like that and get your fan base excited and then apply those ideas to either the franchises we love or the next big game that they make. I just think they need to make – I look at the 3DS lineup right now. They need to make more games. It's not – no one's really kind of doubting the quality once they get there, but they need more of them. They need to come out quicker. And I think they need to be smaller and priced accordingly. That's the only way I can see them doing a quick turnaround, which if the Wii U doesn't make an impact, they're going to need. So that's enough Nintendo, though. As far as some other more business news, Gifford, do you want me to cover positive news or negative news first? I've got a couple here.
Let's start with the good news. I like to end on a pissy negative.
Okay. The positive news is for Twisted Pixel, who was purchased by Microsoft this month. They've had a growing relationship with Microsoft over the years. They've made some of the more memorable Xbox Live Arcade titles, and then of course, kind of the one of the first big second releases of the Kinect games when their Gunstringer game came out. And there's some really interesting stories out there about the origin of Gunstringer and how they pitched that to Microsoft. But Microsoft gets pretty close to the upcoming developers that they work on exclusive titles with through Xbox Live Arcade. And this is one of the first ones that I can remember recently that they've actually acquired and started working with them personally. And honestly, like, I think it's a great acquisition for Microsoft. I mean, the only people that can be sad about this are just, I don't know, you know, we can be indie fanboys, and it's nice for companies like that to remain independent, but I'm sure it made a lot of sense to them. And I'm a big fan of Twisted Pixel, so I think as long as their ideas don't get, you know, cut back, it'll be fine.
This was good news for people that own Kinects. I just have to. I'm assuming that that's why Microsoft bought them.
They've made more Xbox Live Arcade games than Kinect games.
Well, I know that, but Microsoft doesn't need more, you know, first party.
We'll see. I don't know.
Arcade games. They need more Kinect games. They need more Kinect games that appeal to that broader audience, and by broader, I just mean wider than just the casual market.
I'm just excited that the guys from Twisted Pixel and the Everybody Needs Donuts guy are now probably filthy rich. So good job, guys.
Nice work.
Just make sure you have another Everybody Needs Donuts song, because I love that song. And donuts.
I don't know, Josh. I think Microsoft's casting a wider net with Kinect. I don't think it's all games. Just the way they're trying to, you know, back to taking over your living room and doing more things with the Kinect. And They had to have seen, like we just got done talking about, how quickly things turned for Nintendo. Like, at the party when I was setting up the Kinect at a new place and putting in Dance Central 2 for the first time, and they come up with all the loading screens that integrate all the avatars, and everything looks like the Wii, you know, like just trying to emulate that. And I was like, that really looks kind of silly now that it's a year later, to see, you know, how Sony and Microsoft reacted to Nintendo. And I don't know, they're finding other ways to get Kinects in everybody's living rooms. And so I just to say that Twisted Pixel is going to be, you know, a Kinect focused developer.
Here's why I say that. Because with the Kinect, I think, you know, I thought when it came out, I thought it was a gimmick. I still think it's something that, by gimmick, I just mean that it's, I don't think it's going to go places in 5 years.
Sure.
Like the motion control stuff. I think that stuff is going to find a niche after a certain amount of time. After it's hit everyone's eyes, everyone's tried the thing, and there's no, you know, the allure of something new and different wears off when you realize it's not that fun. I think that's when, and Microsoft, I think, sees that, whereas like Nintendo does not. And so they go, okay, what do we need to do to keep this train rolling for as long as possible? And, you know, and they're hurting for good games on the Kinect. I mean, I don't think anybody can argue that. And, you know, when you think about, like, name, like, three really good Kinect games, like, right now, go.
I don't think that's the point.
Dance Central, wait.
I think Microsoft, to a certain degree, although they are certainly not going to complain about they made profit, I think the point is they're using it as a media center lab. Because when we're at this party and people were exposed to Kinect for the first time and the gestures and everything, I started explaining, no, like, you can just fire up the Kinect and use it to swipe between the different menu pages, and you can use it on Netflix and so on and so forth.
It's so slow and wonky.
Yes.
A remote.
I just said it was a development lab. I didn't have to have a remote. If I could have everything in this one system, and especially think about somebody who is less technically inept, they're apt. That's not if somebody who's less apt than we are could just wave at the screen and flip between, I mean, you know how crappy the menu system on a DVR is. I think that's part of what Microsoft is doing. They're looking into the future for a media center that is controlled by gestures.
I want to kind of cut us off from the Kinect discussion because that might need its own podcast topic. But I just don't. All I want to say is I just don't feel that this was a Kinect purchase. I think this was honestly, you see little things. You see very little that is really come out of Rare and the acquisition there that Microsoft's had, and they're trying to diversify their in-house developers, and they hadn't gotten any new blood for a while, and Twisted Pixel's been working out well through the Xbox Live Arcade stuff, and yeah. I think the trigger definitely was Gunstringer, just like how that creative process worked over there, but I don't see this as solely focused on Kinect.
I hope you're right.
Next up, and more negative developer business news.
Yes!
Team Bondi from L.A. Noir, Infamy, and Fummy. Infamy and Fummy. I don't know. Anyway, Team Bondi closed its doors, and they still owe $1.3 million to their employees. So...
Oops.
Yeah, it's just kind of a ongoing bummer to the hellhole that place was to apparently work at, that they still managed to screw their employees when they went under. And
and in other news, Team Bondi head executive has been hired by the United States Congress.
Seriously, how?
What? No, not seriously. I just meant they spent all this money and couldn't pay their employees.
Yeah.
How did a good game come out of all that?
It's kind of remarkable. I mean, wow. I think it's, yeah.
I mean, you know what? Like, for the development cycle is longer than anything ever. And it's so much, it, you know, it's, all those people coming out saying the work conditions sucked and that,
would be really cool.
Was a dick and there's a good game out of it.
I'm not trying to put them on the spot, but I've become a bigger and bigger fan of Rockstar the last couple of years. But it'd be really cool if they somehow extended a hand to those employees that kind of just got caught up in this mess. But because that's been the one bright spot for me is how Rockstar's handled the entire situation. They kind of came in and pushed the game when they needed to. It was a success. They published it, they talked about it, and then they kind of got away from it. And, because it was ready to implode. And yeah, you're right. How that game was great and commercially successful. when it came out is still remarkable with there. It's just ashes left from the team that made it. It's pretty sad.
Is Rockstar kind of untethered from this situation?
I don't know. I think so. I think they've been, I don't know. Yeah.
I think my understanding is they were just the publisher. So Bandai had its own budget and everything like that. And it's their problem. I mean, Rockstar may eventually.
I think they just kind of came in and enforced the deadline and made them get the game out. But
I guess I just assumed that there was money involved.
It doesn't. Right now, the negative parts of these stories are not blowing back on Rockstar at all. That's all I can really say.
We need a sleuth.
I think we'll send in Dr. J. Pizzle, maybe.
Yeah, the doctor.
All right, give her your headline.
Okay, so over the last 3 years, so in 2011, 51% of people, gamers, console gamers, and this is HD console, so if you're still playing your PSX, it's not you, purchased DLC in the last 12 months. And they've done the survey over the last 3 years. And they're averaging 41 2/3% over the last 3 years.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool. I wonder
what is and isn't counted in the stats as far as, like, I don't know, some of the season pass stuff that became required.
And it, was that one purchase? Was that three purchases? Yeah.
But still. I had no idea what these numbers would look like. But it was.
Yeah, I didn't either. And also, when you look at the reasons people don't purchase DLC, privacy was 47% of the people replied privacy was the issue.
I really underestimate how nervous some people are about buying things online. I think
that's skewed. I think that's bullshit. I'm not going to like privacy. Really? If privacy is your main issue and you're a hardcore gamer, that means you pirated that shit off of – you torrented that. Or you cracked your Xbox so you could get it for free, and that's your privacy concern.
The funny thing when this story broke there was pretty much an even split as far as how the headlines read for this story. And so you chose the positive spin of half of console owners purchased the DLC. And I saw a lot of them that said 48% of people don't buy DLC. And it was like, I can't tell if you think this is a surprise to you or what point you're trying to make, but everybody kind of turned it to their own needs. And,
well, I think I'm not sure I necessarily looked at it as a positive thing because we've spent a lot of time over the last 3 or 4 months talking about season passes and the whatever you call it when somebody like Rockstar does the thing with the Catman or Catwoman DLC to cut down on their quote unquote losses to used sales, so on and so forth. So what that said to me was as much as people bitch about this kind of thing, and people includes us, we're still buying it. So EA doing their own thing or really any of the publishers who are doing things that kind of irritate us, they're still making money hand over fist because we're still buying it. Well, and I'm guessing that the people who don't purchase the DLC wouldn't have purchased it regardless of how unpleasant, you know, their commentary is about it.
Yeah. There's always going to be, I mean, that's always been a, you know, sticking point are these numbers of like how many consoles just go online at all. You know, and it's always kind of, you know, amazing when you hear, you know, how many people are not connecting their Xbox to the internet and stuff like that. And the main argument that's always revolving around is sort of, you know, with the next generation of consoles or whenever that is going to be, can you get digital distribution, you know, day and date, like game releases, like for the big titles, you know, or like all games going to go download, that kind of thing. When's the death of, you know, GameStop kind of happen, that kind of stuff. So for me, I look at these numbers and I'd much rather just download the damn game and have it and not have to go mess it with it at the store, have it just on the system, don't have to mess with the discs. That sounds great. So when I hear this kind of thing, I think glass half full. I think, hey, there's a half the people that own the console. Not only are they, I mean, connecting online, they actually bought stuff. They actually got their credit card out and stuck it, you know, the numbers in the system, and they trusted that. So that is really good for me.
I've always loved DLC. Like, I kind of speak up when I feel like they're trying to slip things past us. But overall, when it's a game I love and they are able to extend that experience in a positive way, and, you know, I'm looking at, like, you know, the ones that come to mind right now are Mass Effect and Red Dead Redemption, as far as giving me more of what I want. And I love that technology allows us to do this at this point. And, you know, the other side of it is I'm a big Rock Band fan, and establishing new platforms for digital services related to games is very cool to me. And the more people embrace it, the more options we'll have. And sure, there will be some ugliness with messed up past systems and, you know, people not getting what they think they're buying and that sort of thing. But I think overall it's very, very positive. Moving on to indie development news. Got a handful of stories here, but I want to kind of send it around. Just some our thoughts as far as indie development issues. First, we ran a story upon my discovery of Indievania, which is a digital storefront for indie developers, allowing them to distribute their games and have the service not take any cut. And it seems to be taking off. Very cool website. On the struggling business side, there were a couple stories. This month it was focused on the PayPal freezes related to the Xenonauts developers, where PayPal froze their funds, and they've also done this in the past to Minecraft and Project Zomboid. And Project Zomboid also was back in the headlines as the developers actually had their laptops stolen out of their homes or their workplace, and
it was bad.
It was really very bad. They lost about 2 to 3 months of development. They hadn't backed the game up properly, and basically the code that they had access to was now 3 months old. And they got a lot of backlash online and kind of snapped back at their fans or the people kind of attacking them about, you know, trying to be more responsible developers. And they're like, hey, we're just, you know, indie developers. And but they said it in a very aggressive manner and later apologized. But just it kind of these stories kind of open up the hurdles that major indie titles have run across, and just other outlets. And I talked quite a bit about Project Zomboid burglary with Ethan and Coop. Coop's probably our member of Horrible Night that's actually working on some game development stuff himself, so was pretty interested in the story. But as far as just, it's funny how quickly some of these indie games can take off, and it kind of brings a reverence to that developer, or I don't know, we kind of elevate them to a professional level that maybe they're not exactly at yet. But they, you know, these are small teams out there trying to, in some cases, build games in their spare time, or they've taken risks with their jobs. And it's kind of interesting when these stories kind of bring some reality to that situation.
I'm all for people, you know, taking their hobbies and their passion and finding a way to make money at it. But you got to run a business too. And some of these things, you know, you could prevent. I mean, the PayPal situation, can you refresh my memory on exactly what the deal was with that? Because I'm pretty sure they're not going to be able to use PayPal anymore. It was had something to do with the game wasn't finished yet. You can't sell an unfinished product. Is that what it was?
I'm actually not sure. I was just kind of more reading the overall fact that this wasn't the first indie developer to have their funds freezed by PayPal. And they had to basically, the Xenonauts guys had to disable pre-orders and prevent, you know, they weren't able to get money and build off of the positive buzz that their game was getting.
That's what it was. It was the pre-order thing.
Yep.
PayPal doesn't allow that. And you can you could see that. And there was some precedent, I think, with Minecraft of the same problem. So they should have seen that coming, I think. But, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. With the Zomboid guy's the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Who expects to get broken into and get all their stuff stolen? I mean, who normally, they were, you know, who's paying for that?
They were backing up the game on each other's laptops, so they had two local copies, but when both got stolen, that's just the nightmare scenario.
But that's, and see, that there's another problem, though, which is like, okay, so let's say you didn't get broken into and get all your computers stolen. There's actually a really good percentage chance that you're going to have two hard drives fail.
Yeah.
Like, that alone was like, holy cow, how's that not, you know, stuck in the cloud or something? Or, I don't know, burned off, you know, on some, you know, external drive, disks, whatever, like something. For 3 months, you didn't update your shit?
I've been a part of so many, like, freelance web projects that, you know, I know it's a lesser scale than game development. I won't pretend that
they were
like,
selling a product.
It's not officially done yet, right?
Like, they're selling it. You know, it. Like Minecraft. Oh, yeah. It's a beta. I bought the damn thing. Quit mincing words. You know, it's like semantics. Like, you're selling me a product. You're still. I understand. You're still developing this thing, but you. I paid money. And you gave, you know, you let me download the game. Like, you know, people are paying for this shit.
I just wonder when that moment is for some of these companies where they kind of make that transition. I think there's that we give a lot of them too much credit and make them grow up. We think they grow up faster than they really do. And I'm just surprised we haven't had more stories like this. I mean,
I'm surprised we haven't had more stories of people taking a bunch of money and then just. You know, running with it.
That's true. We haven't had the pre-order. No, we never made the game type of situation. So, hopefully, Zomboid can get back on track because that game has a lot of promise and a few of our own Horrible Night guys excited about it. But
yeah, I think it's. I mean, even its current state, or at least the last version I played was very compelling. So, hope it does well.
Josh, let's go to your next headline.
Oh, more bad news. This is a real downer of a show. God. I mean, this. You know what? This should be a good thing. Origin.
Spin it.
Origin. Got some more publishers on board. Yay! So, if you're one of those people that just hates Steam and you're real looking for a competitor, all right, Origin may be your guy.
I want to meet the Steam haters.
Yeah. If you like PC games and you hate Steam, you actually are on
a
Mac.
Day.
You know what? You can even use it on a Mac now. So, THQ, Warner Brothers, and Capcom all signed up to put games. I haven't seen a list of all these games, but at least they're new ones, like Arkham City and Saints Row the Third on Origin.
Yeah, wake me up when THQ, Activision, or Ubisoft jump ship. I wonder,
that was THQ is on that list.
Oh, my bad. Then don't wake me up. Wake me up.
And it's EA's already, so, you know.
No, I still think that we're going to see platforms by all the major publishers, like, unfortunately.
It sucks for the consumer, really, because once you start getting into, you know, all the – you know, exclusivity kind of stuff, and you start splitting user bases because Steam is not just about the store. It's a platform with which, you know, the difference between Steam and Origin is turning out to be the difference between PSN and Xbox Live. You know, it's a completely different friends list, you know, totally different, you know, community based around them. And those are the big problems for me, because I ran into this, and I think I talked about this already maybe last week, but I ran into this problem with, you know, Battlefield 3 launch, and I'm like, I'm having to text my friends to find out if they're going to play some Battlefield, because I don't have them on my Origin friends list yet, and I couldn't find them in their system because search is terrible. And, you know, there's like, well, they're not on Steam because, well, you don't need to open Steam, you know, you don't open Steam to play Battlefield, can't buy Steam, or can't buy Battlefield on Steam, so... There's no, like, that overlay support where you get a little message that pops up in the middle of your game. Origin has that capability, they say. For me, it does not work with Battlefield. So I have to alt tab out constantly for, I mean, I don't know. You know what? They'll get their kinks worked out. Steam had their its kinks too, but it's still splitting the user base, and that in the end sucks for us.
Yeah, I just, this is just the beginning, I guess. Like,
games on all the platforms. Put it everywhere. You can. The technic, you know, it doesn't matter. Still a PC. A PC is a PC is a PC. I don't care what program is launching the damn game, you know. Or I mean, I do. I want the choice.
I think we'd all take it kind of easier if it did. If they all integrated with a common way to communicate to our gaming friends, especially for these multiplayer focused games. Like that's the really frustrating part. That's hilarious to me to picture PC gamers having to text their friends to get a Battlefield 3 game scheduled. Like, it was, you're trying to push that stupid as the major multiplayer event of the year, and man, yeah, like I said, this is just the beginning. You know, Activision has something up their sleeve too, and but hopefully competition breeds
that smart.
I was gonna say, hopefully it breeds something better, but I didn't have a problem with Steam.
No, not at all. Steam gets better and better all the time. And you know, and you know what? This the whole Origin thing and that sour taste in my mouth with them stems all the way back from them coming out and publicly saying they were not looking to compete with Steam.
Yeah,
and that is exactly what they were doing, and there is absolutely no way that they did not at least have aspirations of doing that when they said that, when they made that statement. That was just a bold, you know, face lie. I mean, there's no, you just, I don't know.
Don't you know that we're all idiots?
God, you know. Oh,
little did we know.
Put the games on Steam, please.
Next up. This story might actually just be for me, but I'm interested in your guys' reaction. But I tried to dig through some announcements related to release dates and new games, and some new old games were announced, basically. More or less confirmed, because I think both of them had been rumored at some point. But I'm a huge Devil May Cry fan, and they are putting together an HD collection for that game. And I've spoken quite a bit about my love for NFL Blitz to the point that I bought the damn arcade machine. And they finally announced the new NFL Blitz game that will be a downloadable title, it looks like. So similar to the way that EA has been doing the NBA Jam franchise. And didn't see much as far as the Devil May Cry stuff. I'm perfectly fine with whatever they come out with, because I would love to replay those games. And as far as NFL Blitz goes, compared to recent Blitz, the league games, and just other attempts at upgrading that franchise, it looks like they're taking it back to its roots. It looks more and more like the arcade game with a little bit better better graphics, but they were still stylized to some of the old NFL Blitz style. So does it get either of you excited at all?
Yes.
Devil May Cry, I'm guessing?
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of excited for both, because I never got on the Blitz bandwagon back, you know, in the day. I always liked NBA Jam, though, and I liked Hits, the NHL game. But Blitz, I never got into that for, I don't know, I didn't have friends playing it, but I like the concept, yeah. And I hate the Madden games so much. I hate realistic sports games. I don't think they're fun. I like to watch sports, play them. But when it comes to video games, I'd rather have, you know, I don't need simulation. I just need fun. And Blitz looks like maybe I can finally have that with an NFL game. So,
cool.
Yeah, I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other about Devil May Cry, because I had no experience with it. I might love it. I don't know. And I like sports sim games. So, and my experience with NFL Blitz was it took a lot of my quarters and wasn't all that fun. So,
were you playing against me? Is that the problem?
No. Okay. No.
I've heard that from my opponents anyway. No.
I like this HD compilation trend that's happening, because they're games I like. and they look like ass today. They're not selling them. You can't play them on modern systems at all. So.
Yeah, they're not selling them for full price. They're multiple games in one package, and they're making them playable and look better than the originals on my current console. I don't feel forced into buying these. I don't have a problem with their existence, and this is a series that appeals to me.
I think the other thing is that you just pointed out that's important is they're making them playable as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't update the controls, that could be a serious issue.
Yeah.
And finally, in HD, we'll find out, does Dante's carpet match his drapes?
I don't know if anyone has asked that question.
You haven't been on the fanfic websites out there.
You're right, I haven't. I think we're out of time for our fanfic update, though. So we'll have to check in with you on our next podcast.
Google it.
Real quick, though, I want to. Our next two headlines we've kind of touched on previous podcasts, but I did want to see if we had any updated comments, so we'll start with Josh.
Wait, on what? Updated comments?
Yeah, we, like.
We go covered on... this? Oh, yeah.
I'm not crazy.
We did have it. The Battlefield 1943 was supposed to be included with the PlayStation 3 copy of Battlefield 3. It was not included. And there was a substitute offered by EA, which was PlayStation owners get first dibs on purchasing the game's expansions. Wah, wah.
What was that? Just, I don't know if we talk about that. They are remarkable to me. EA just... Yeah, again, with the Origin stuff, too. It's just like the shit they think they can get away with and us not notice, but I don't know. Still, at the same time, I feel like, what can we do? What can PS3 owners actually do? Like, they gave them, from the way I read the article, they didn't really give the people any warning that 1943 wasn't coming with their game. And, you know, I'm sure it only affects a handful of people that pre-ordered Battlefield, but at the same time...
Yeah, but there's this... They could have just given them something else.
Yeah.
A different damn game.
Too.
Right. It's just... My problem with it is the lack of value in the substitution that they had out. Like, yeah, oh, you're going to get it first, and you still got to pay for shit. Like, that's... It's just slimy. It's just a slimy move. And then they've got all these other issues with the launch of Battlefield, with the server problems on the 360, the Origin problems on the PC, which are plentiful. They've had all kinds of issues. And I don't think this is – at the end of the day, this isn't going to really affect much of anything. I mean, they tried to make this about Battlefield versus Modern Warfare, and it's no more Battlefield versus Modern Warfare than it was with, you know, Call of Duty 4 and Battlefield 2 or whatever, you know, because these are the same games that everybody's been playing. You know, this is not a different Battlefield. It's the same Battlefield, you know, and this is not a different Modern Warfare 3. It's not, I mean, granted, it's not out yet, but come on, we've seen it. It looks like Modern Warfare.
The more I've been thinking about this, and this is getting ahead of things because Modern Warfare 3 comes out next week, but like, what if both of these games are equally glitchy? I mean, there's a lot of people involved in Modern Warfare 3, and it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit more under the radar compared to other recent Call of Duty releases, but it just wouldn't surprise me if it has a plethora of launch bugs, and I don't know, it's kind of funny with, you know, I'm sure Battlefield 3 is a great game, and, you know, it sounds like when you dig through all the bullshit, it is a great game.
Yeah.
And I think Modern Warfare 3 will be the same thing, but it's just they're going head to head, and I don't think either one of them is really putting their best foot forward. It's just kind of, but the marketing is so strong with these, they make you believe otherwise.
Well, I think Modern Warfare 3 is probably won't have as many issues because it doesn't look like they're trying to change much. I don't think they've changed a whole lot with the engine. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, it looks like more of the same. Battlefield 3 was a little more ambitious in it, just the scope in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. which is always going to be a problem. But, you know, these were deadlines that, you know, with Modern Warfare, that's been on this, you know, very regular interval for some time now. So it's, you know, that they're in the groove. With Battlefield, it's not quite the same.
Can you imagine either development team going to Activision or EA and saying, we'd like a few more months to get this game right. But it does sound like the Battlefield 3 servers are bouncing back just in time to combat Modern Warfare 3. So
I think this is just at the end. It's more of a sign of, you know, this is what happens when you cram, you know, people into these terrible deadlines with, you know, ambitious projects. And this is going to happen every time when you don't give them that extra month or two.
So. All right, last one. Gifford, recap your headline.
Okay, so we all know that Rockstar has a decent sense of humor. And it pretty much came through in their announcement for GTA 5. They didn't announce anything other than, you know, GTA 5 was coming out and there was going to be a preview tomorrow, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that they coincided the announcement with Jack Thompson's 3-year disbarment anniversary. And if you don't know, Jack Thompson is the douchebag who filed a lot of frivolous lawsuits against game manufacturers and used a bunch of bunk science saying that video games cause children to be more violent and, you know, destroyed their lives, made them worship Satan, hate America, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it was basically just a big wish you well from
wish
Rockstar.
Well. I was going with fuck you again.
Yeah, that's another way of saying it.
So what a classy Rockstar would say.
And if you're not familiar with, you know, getting disbarred, you really, really, really have to do something stupid to get permanently disbarred. Which he did. I mean,
didn't he? He had to do it like repetitively.
Here's the description of why he was disbarred, because it's worth reading. Cumulative misconduct, a repeated pattern of behavior relentlessly forced upon numerous unconnected individuals, a total lack of remorse or even slight acknowledgement of inappropriate conduct, and continued behavior consistent with previous public reprimand. Over a very extended period of time involving a number of totally unrelated cases and individuals, Thompson has demonstrated a pattern of conduct to strike out harshly, extensively, repeatedly, and willfully simply to try to bring as much difficulty, distraction, and anguish to those he considers in opposition to his causes. He does not proceed within the guidelines of appropriate professional behavior, but rather uses other means available to intimidate, harass, or bring public disrepute to those whom he perceives opposes him. I can't think of a better term for somebody than who does this than douchebag, and I'm glad he's no longer a lawyer.
Finally, one victory for the lawyers.
Yeah, and especially coming from the Florida bar.
Have we seen a strung out like Nick Nolte mugshot picture of this guy lately?
No, he's just
we can just sub a strung out Nick Nolte picture.
He's probably just sitting at home playing Saints Row.
He's playing that game that those guys made for him.
He's a really big Just Cause 2
charity thing.
So yeah, that's pretty much the entire thing.
Cool.
It's funny, and it made me laugh, and it's a really good way to wrap up our news.
I appreciate you bringing that to our attention, actually. Like, I read the announcement, did think about it. I was like, okay, I'll pay attention next week when the trailer stuff comes out. But the fact that they dated it to stick it to Jack one more time is something I appreciate.
I was struggling to remember his last name earlier.
That's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's like the biggest slam ever.
Every month he was out there. So,
yeah, not anymore. Been disbarred.
All right. Do any of these headlines matter, gentlemen? Looks like Josh, you started to break it down. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the Nintendo news is big in that it's a sign of potential things to come with them. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what their plans are, or you know, all the stuff that's in the works. But you know, maybe they'll change things up. You know, they ditched the vitality sensor. That was good. So
that was,
you know,
holding them down.
Yeah. So you know, maybe like they're really gonna you know, beef up the Wii U specs and announce a traditional controller as well and try to get into the separate side. I don't know. I think that this could be the thing that heralds the eventual retirement of Mario to the same retirement home that Sonic lives at now.
Ooh, predictions.
So yeah, this is I feel very strongly about this.
Yeah, I agree that
and it's sad.
No matter the outcome, this is kind of it's the end of the Wii DS era of profitability, and this is a turning point for Nintendo, and whatever happens, they will look back on it.
Yeah, and I hope it's just a really big wake-up call for them. And I think the Origin thing is kind of big in a bad way, possibly. I don't think THQ and Warner Brothers, Capcom, I don't think they're going to go with Origin exclusivity with the games, but...
That would be bigger news, you're right.
DLC? Yeah. You'll probably see that. You'll see other people jump on board, and if they start getting real sales, which that is the thing they have not proven yet, is whether or not they can really, you know, push numbers and get people to keep coming back to that service. Because I think that is, you know, it's not Steam. You open up the program or the website, and it's the exact same interface. You can do what, you know, you can buy games from there. They do a really good job of advertising. The people who put games on their system. So we'll see how that shakes out. If they don't do a good job with that, Origin's not going to turn into a real competitor against Steam.
Mm-hmm.
If they do a good job with that stuff, and that's a possibility, then the fragmentation of the user base is just going to get bigger. You get people who come in for Battlefield, start buying some other stuff, they just start using Origin, and less people... You know, or I have to run two programs in the background on my computer.
You're gonna have to run three.
To hook up with my buddies.
Gonna have to run three.
What's the third one?
When Activision.
Oh right. There's no Activision's not.
Dude, Blizzard has all the tech to do it, man.
Oh, okay, Blizzard. I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah,
that's not. They're not gonna go. That's not gonna.
No. It's not very hard to tie a Call of Duty game to. Into that service.
I don't know. Well, so far, they've really kept that separate, like the Blizzard stuff from everything else.
So far.
Blizzard has BattleNet. BattleNet's not going to start tying into
Tony Hawk. It'll be separate service, but I'm saying the tech is there for whatever Activision decides to make.
Okay, well, maybe.
Point me.
God, I hope not.
Yes, me
too. I don't think point so. Lacey in this one.
Yeah, no, I still don't think this... I just don't think that'll happen. They don't have... No, it won't happen. No fucking way. Okay, moving on.
Yes.
The new old game stuff. We've already seen this trend. It's exploded this year. We haven't talked about it a whole lot either.
Yeah, but do you think we'll pay attention to these two in particular? I think the trend has already started.
Well, no. Yeah, not necessarily. You know, we already had a new Jam, and we already had, you know, the HD.
Plenty of HDs.
A bunch of other stuff. Yeah, but this is just more of, you know, of that stuff. Like that's I think it's a good thing because there's plenty of really good games that you can't buy it today, or you know you've got to play it on an old system, or the graphics are just really bad, or you know maybe you don't have a PlayStation with backwards compatibility, so you can't play you know older Devil May Cry or something like that. Yeah. So
Cybernator.
You know, okay, yeah, Cybernator HD. You know, whatever brings those classic games, they're becoming classics now. That's what we're talking about. Whatever brings those to new audience, or lets me revisit them, in HD splendor, that's a good thing.
True, true.
And I think the last thing is coming out of that the indie news. I think the PayPal issues I hope this means that less people are going to use PayPal, because PayPal, those guys are full of shit. I've had nothing but problems
now,
with them over
now
the
Josh,
years.
Now, Josh.
Yeah.
How do you really feel about PayPal?
You know what? They're a bunch of dicks. Everybody that works for PayPal.
Hopefully, hey, I hope you're right. I didn't think of any long-term effects. I just saw it as something, another hurdle for indie developers.
Yeah, PayPal is awful. It has always sucked, but there haven't been any, like, real alternatives. And didn't they get bought by eBay or something?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so, and that didn't help things at all. And I hope PayPal dies, and I hope there's plenty of other little competitors, but they're not huge yet.
At least. I hope Bitcoin takes over.
You know, that'd be cool. And you know what? Now a lot of places you'll see Amazon's payments. That's a competitor to PayPal. They do that stuff, and Google Checkout. More of those, you know, we get, and the more they open up their, you know, whatever, there's API stuff for people to integrate instead of PayPal. That is good for the consumer.
That one's got my. You've talked me into being a believer in that. I hope that makes some things change for sure. Gifford, any other articles stand out to you?
Well, I'm with you. I'm with Josh on the Nintendo losses. Cool. And I think that Microsoft seems to be pretty good about and seems focused on picking up talented second or third party or third party developers, turning them into second party developers or into first party developers, however you want to look at it. You know, they did it with Bungie, or I guess Bungie was theirs. I don't know exactly how that original thing worked, but anyway, they've got a good eye for talent.
Wait, originally Halo was going to be for the Mac.
Right.
So
then Microsoft,
that was a big deal.
In.
So, I think they do have a good eye for talented developers. I think that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, that was, in addition to my selections, actually, were the Nintendo story, Origin, and then this Twisted Pixel story from – in regards of – I hope it starts a trend for Microsoft. I really feel that they – when you look at their exclusive titles, their exclusive franchises, they –
their stable of developers, those big studs.
Not just that. No, I'm look at the franchises themselves. I think they need some help. I think they've had a really good run. But it could potentially dry up because we'll see what happens with Halo 4 and how 343 does with that. And but picking up some – I'm really interested in the next iteration of Xbox Live Arcade, and having developers like Twisted Pixel on staff could really bolster that. But hopefully they've got their eyes on a few others to not only help their existing franchises but create some new ones, because – those are still selling consoles. I mean, I made the post today that I can't remember the last time I went to a store to buy a PS3 game, but Uncharted got me in the store and still makes me own that system. And I'm, you know, where my fanboy alliances align right now, I'm hoping that doesn't happen to Microsoft, but they need to kind of secure that side of things as well. So.
And they've done such great things with Rare, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that was just a when you talk about the judging talent, they actually kind of missed. So, especially in regards to Rare, I think that's a whole other funny story as far as Nintendo was kind of happy to let them go, and Microsoft was excited to have them, and then you know,
and they connect sports.
Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts was pretty fun. Viva Pinata.
Yeah.
Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
What? Okay, that's going to do it for our headlines discussion. Before we wrap up the core portion of our episode, some HorribleNight.com updates. A lot going on our Twitch TV channel, including next week, The Horrible Show will be live for our second live episode, which we will try to turn things around from kind of our negative tone tonight, thanks to all these headlines. Not really our fault. But I'll talk a little bit about some video games that we're thankful for. More on that next week. But tune in next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. That'd be November 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern on our Twitch TV channel, twitch.tv/horriblenight. In the meantime, you will be seeing roughly weekly game nights on Twitch TV. Our man, Copper Skull James, has been the last 2 weeks broadcasting on Monday nights, his gameplay sessions, and whenever he streams, he gets involved in the chat and features a game of his selection, and we'll be trying to keep that going on a weekly basis. But also, this Friday we'll have a community game night focused on Battlefield 3. So more details on that coming up on the site very soon. But look for that Friday night, and there will be multiple Horrible Night staffers playing, and we'll be inviting our readers to the individual Battlefield 3 games on Xbox 360, and we're trying to talk some of our guys into jumping on the PC as well.
I will be participating in a PC playing on
Friday. Nice. So look for information on the site, and then during the event, you can shout out during the chat, and someone will find you and get you involved in the game. So,
and if you want to play anything other than Battlefield 3, look me up. It's Giftor. I won't be playing Battlefield 3.
Well, Giftor.
But I'd love to play with our listeners.
Giftor. Funny you should mention that. Giftor. Justin Gifford, Giftor. I just like saying Giftor.
Giftord. Giftor. Justin Giftord.
We are going to try to have community game nights online once a month. We're trying to rededicate to that. So in addition to the weekly events that are just kind of random games of Copper Skull's selection, we will be trying to at least feature one of the shooters, because we know those are popular, but also have another game night. Look for that in a couple weeks, where we try to find a multiplayer game that a lot of people have access to that maybe we haven't played too much, and try to mix things up. So there will be another game night in a couple more weeks, and hopefully I can get my shit together and actually get a formal schedule so people know what to expect. But we are getting the pieces aligned first, and so be on the lookout for a lot more game events and streaming streaming video action, and also monthly live horrible show episodes. So we're really excited about that. Three of us are going to take a short break and come back for our off-topic discussion for our threesomes of the week. But for the rest of you, thanks for listening, and the horrible show will be back live next Tuesday night, and the episode will be posted again on Wednesday. So we will see you then. Later.
Deuces.
Threesomes. Hey. Threesomes. I'm going first because I got a beef with Google, and that doesn't happen very often. So
you got some beef for the threesome?
Yeah. Some googly beef.
It sounds cute.
Yeah. So Google made a lot of updates this week, most of which I like, but they did do a small update that affects how Horrible Night works, so I'm kind of ticked off. Google Reader, the interface was updated, and Google Reader actually powers our Shiny Objects feed, which is the daily news articles that we kind of curate and make quick comments on. And the way it used to work, we could quickly go through all the sites that we're subscribed to, share the items that we want with a quick comment, and it generates a feed that our site picks up on. And then on a weekly basis, we go through those and pick out the top headlines to make our Monday post that is kind of our news recap of both on-site and off-site headlines. And Google made a switch where they basically disabled that functionality. They no longer want you to share through the feed means. They want everything that you share to go through Google+. So for right now, we have a Google Plus profile that I'm not really publicizing, but it doesn't hurt if you find it and subscribe to it, where I'm continuing to highlight those articles, but they aren't being fed into our site. So I'm still working on the solution to continue to curate those headlines, because I think that's important. It helps us stay in touch, and but also gives you, you know, content that we've had our eyes on. and is going on in the industry. But I don't really know what the solution is yet, so it may take a little bit. I need to make sure that Google Reader, wherever it goes, it stays how it is, and I have to figure out a way to get that back into the site so we can get that news to you quickly. So those will be in flux, and like, there's a lot of people that are actually upset about this because
there are a lot of people who are upset about this.
Because the big thing it killed was, and what I can't understand, and I'm sorry to just bitch about this, but I don't bitch very often, is that the way Google Reader used to work, even before it was tied into Google Buzz, which is what they killed, you were able to subscribe to friends' shared feeds. So I had, and Horrible Night had, a large friends list that helped me find new topics that I was interested in, and it when they moved everything to Google Plus, it killed all those friend connections. So I can't even get to their stuff anymore. So I've lost, you know, the 25 people that, you know, I enjoyed what headlines they showed and shared, and sometimes they were paying attention to video game content that was important to us, and that's really frustrating. I have to rebuild the friends list now for Horrible Night on Google Channels, and I'm kind of weighing whether or not that's worth it. So we shall see. So that's what's going on with Google. Fuck Google right now.
Man, it's continuing the negativity.
I really like the new Gmail, though. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Gfail. No, it's good.
The new Android Google app is great. Or the Android G Plus app is awesome.
While I'm ranting about Google, Google Plus also, I love it. There's no reason to be on it right now, and that's why I don't see a reason to promote or be actively invested in a Horrible Night page out there right now. So that's the other side that I'm really frustrated with.
Google, I think you're crazy.
There's nobody out there, GIF.
There are lots of tech people on there.
Right, it's a bunch of nerds.
Our reader base.
I love it for what it is, but with our efforts and other, this is just coming from me personally. This isn't, you know, official Horrible Night stance, but sometimes I turn it into that. It's just there's more reason to be invested in Twitter and Facebook. There's much more reason to be invested in Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch TV for us than there is on Google Plus right now. Like if they can get their business pages together and give us a reason to publish out there, we will certainly do it. And I hope they do it. I hope that they give Facebook a run for the money, because a lot of the improvements that Facebook has made has been due to Google Plus kind of.
Did you put quotations around the word improvements?
I like competition. Maybe that's they yeah, improvements. I like the new timeline layout. But
really?
Yes. Anyway, let's get into a web interface discussion, because that'll awaken.
The other
Justin Lacey that needs a separate podcast. All right. Anyway, other good stuff, Josh Lee.
Hit me.
T Fury. I'm a big fan of the kind of geek T-shirt sites and the sites that sell the one shirt a day, and I've bought a handful of T Fury T-shirts recently, and
I thought this was a golf thing. No. I thought it was a game or something.
Angry golf tees. No, no. But I am wearing my new favorite geek shirt right now. I will post a photo of it. But it is essentially a Donkey Kong T-shirt with a graphic of a tie, but the tie is made out of the scaffolding from the original Donkey Kong game. It is fantastic.
So, it's a shirt with a picture of a tie.
Yes.
And stuff on it. Can you buy just that tie?
No.
And wear that with just a regular T-shirt?
I would also buy the tie. But
what if you wore the tie with the T-shirt that had the tie on it?
I would also do that.
That's a little too meta.
No, I would.
Or just enough.
Let's see. Oh, that's not that one. I'll have to find the link for you guys later.
I like this better when I think it's like a browser-based.
It's not that one.
tfury.co.jp.
You should make a concept for a T-Fury.
You build up your Fury Eater.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot
better. You know what? I'm an idiot. We're restarting. Oh, man. I'm an idiot. I do love T-Fury, but my shout-out actually goes to a different T-shirt company.
you didn't even buy it from them.
No, I've bought plenty from T-Fury, but recently I've been buying... More recently, I've been buying a handful from Ripped Apparel.
Good Lord.
Do your research before you make your podcast notes, folks. But I'm perfectly fine with recommending both services. So you get a foursome this week from me. And
Ripped?
Ripped. R-I-P-T. There we go. I found the scaffolding tie. Tell me that wasn't worth that roundabout story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right. I win still.
I would buy that tie and wear it to court.
I want them to sell the tie so I can wear the tie on top of the shirt with the tie on it.
That would be such a nerdy school teacher tie.
I'm not a school
Perfect.
Teacher. I'm not a school teacher because I don't like books. Anyway, lastly, back to video games. In my downtime after Arkham City, I was hooking up the PlayStation 3 to get all the updates done before Uncharted 3 came in. And lo and behold, another great Pixel Junk game was released. Pixel Junk side-scroller came out. I only played a little bit of it, but was... thoroughly impressed by it. I think Gifford, you'd really like this game. It's side-scroller shooter. Like the name was kind of I don't know why I expected more of a platformer, but it's more like Gradius style.
They should have just called
nice.
It Shmup.
Yeah. So that name was deceptive, but the game itself is fantastic. So $10 PSN. Pixel Junk games are some of the best things about PSN, and I do like a lot of the exclusive PSN games. So that's another victory for PS3 while I get familiar with my old favorite controller, actually, this week.
I love Pixel Junk games, and I love shooters, so I'm really excited to play this.
I think you might like this game, Joshua.
I will buy it.
Justin Gifford, threesomes.
So I've cranked through, I think I'm on my fourth Justin Gustanus book. That's the author, not the character. And if I mispronounced your name, I apologize. But he writes a lot of noir with a little bit of, with a fair amount of... wizardry stuff mixed in. I guess he's gotten to be buddies with Jim Butcher, who did the
that's what I was about to say.
He's buddies with him. He's even gotten to use a couple of the characters from Jim Butcher. He's actually an English professor. But anyway, I've enjoyed him a lot. His characters are fun. They're unique. And clearly I've read through, I'm on my fourth one in the last 5 days, of his series. So
how do you read that much?
I read fast.
He doesn't work.
Yeah, right. I don't work. That's it.
reading books all day.
God, that'd be a great job. So yeah.
Or hell.
Right.
What if you just read books all day and wrote reviews?
Well, there's that. Did you guys? What was that? The it's Robert Redford movie where the guy's a reader for the CIA looking for terror plots in novels.
Wow!
So he just sits around and reads novels all day. Yeah. Anyway, great movie.
Cool job.
Then I watched Green Lantern, and Ryan Reynolds is not Green Lantern.
So you're putting the entire blame on Ryan Reynolds? Is this?
No, I'm putting a lot of the blame on DC allowing that interpretation of the whole parallax thing to come through.
Yeah, I'm not a Lantern fan, so I'm just
making Sinestro into more of a good guy, and
No, and they did that. They did that really well, I thought.
Well, they did.
Because he was a good guy.
Well, and now he's the current Green Lantern, which is bullshit. I don't know. I have a like early Stargate SG-1 Richard Dean Anderson in my head. That's what Hal Jordan should look like. And he's too old to play it now. So it was a little, my expectations might have been a little high. It was fine. It wasn't as good as really anything that Marvel's been turning out, and it pains me to say that. So maybe somebody can do a really great version of The Flash.
So is the movie bad?
No, it's a solid 2.5 out of 5 stars. I'm not angry I spent the money to watch it, but I'm glad I did not buy it.
Josh, what's your take?
I thought Ryan Reynolds was fine. I mean,
I agree. He was fine.
I have a hard time picturing people as... Yeah, well, and I have a hard time picturing people as superheroes or vice versa anyways. You know, I mean, I read a lot of comics, and when I picture Batman, I don't think of Christian Bale, but I think he does a pretty good job. He's, you know, and like there's like, I don't know. There's about a million different things they could have done differently in that movie. Probably had made it more Green Lantern-y, or just a better movie, I guess. Really,
should they have gone more Green Lantern-y, or should they have gone more mainstream?
Either no, or.
I think Green. What you saw on the screen really was. A lot of that stuff was pretty close to the comics, or at least like some of the stuff that, say, the animated stuff has done. They didn't stray too far. They didn't like try to do something completely different, or like, you know, so, like Ghost Rider kind of shitty.
Or Monty,
you know,
yeah.
You know, they didn't do that. But at the same time, I think that the stories like lend themselves pretty well. They did the visual stuff pretty well. But just overall as a movie, like, I don't think it was that entertaining. Like, the story, I don't know. You know, I don't write movie scripts, but I just think there's a whole lot of things that could have been expanded on, and other stuff that just could have been cut out completely and just made, you know, like, quit trying to appeal to like every single demographic. Just make a good fucking film. That's exactly what Christopher Nolan did with the Batman films, and it worked out.
I think those movies did okay. The Batmans.
No, the DC's okay. They were freaking awesome. So, on a totally different note.
Yeah.
I'm
looking at this.
Yeah.
I don't even know how this got brought up.
What happened?
Oh, yes, I do.
Didn't somebody talk about this on the show like a couple months ago?
Let's keep not bringing it up for the listeners. So skirt around it as much as you can. I'm kidding.
What's her name? Wow, I can see your face.
Zooey
Deschanel.
Yeah.
Sang the national anthem.
Uh-huh.
And some people really liked it, and some people really hated it. Most people who really hated it wanted something really like jazzed up and blah blah.
Jazzed or jizzed?
Yes.
sorry. Shout out to Ethan.
And so anyway, this got us on the topic of Zooey Deschanel, and then
she's cute.
My second favorite Christmas song of all time, which is "Baby It's Cold Outside." And somebody said, oh, her version of this is really good. And I said, oh, really? And they're like, yeah, but you got to download the whole Elf soundtrack album. And I was like, all right, fine. And it's a really good soundtrack.
Huh.
And
I really like that song, too.
Is there a narwhal song on that soundtrack?
It's
my favorite moment in that movie when the narwhal randomly shows up.
But that said, the best Christmas song ever is Mistress for Christmas by AC/DC.
Oh God!
What? Really? You have a
you can't refute that with like Tubular Bells or what child is this?
Wait, no. Tubular Bells.
Mistress for fucking Christmas
from The Exorcist.
Yeah, that's a Christmas song.
Man, that is a bad evil song.
I'm just waiting on the Skrillex.
Oh, Christmas Ring Out the Bells, not Tubular album. Bells.
Holy shit! Tubular Bells makes me unsettled.
Are there any barking dogs involved in these albums.
No, that is actually the number two reason that dogs love people.
Dude, Halloween was this week. We should not be talking about Christmas, goddammit.
You know what? I was at we had our Halloween party this weekend. I was outside and I was singing "Baby, It's Cold Outside." No shit. And then someone approached me and said,
"So dirty."
Big Boss was singing.
Yes. And somebody said, "That song is really creepy."
That song's not creepy.
It's literal or obvious.
I don't know. I have no, and I have no opinion on that. Because I never thought of the song that way.
All right.
But yeah, supposedly the interaction between the male and the female in the song is creepy.
No, it's not creepy. It's how
The
person we're talking to, had they ever had sex?
Not with me.
All right. Well, there you go.
That's all I know.
I think it's a pretty good approximation of male female relations on it after a date.
I think so too.
This is deep, and I'm lost. Save me with video games, Josh Layford.
Video games. Every once in a while I have one of these stories of, like, me being kind of a ditz playing games.
Or a dick.
Well, this was, I had one of those brain fart moments. I played, this was yesterday. I was playing Left 4 Dead 2. For the first time in a while. And I had just watched The Walking Dead, that second and third episode. So I was really in the mood for some zombie shooting. So I hooked up with some of my online buddies. And we're playing Cold Stream. It was a map released. I don't know if it was on the PC. I don't know if they released on Xbox. But it was like it says beta. So it's still testing or something. Anyways, it was a map I hadn't played, and I played so much Left 4 Dead that it was kind of nice to play something new. So we fired this thing up, and we had some people bail on us. So it was me and another friend who played a lot together, and then we get a couple of random internet guys, and they're not bad. Communication is pretty good. We tried to play through the first level of this campaign several times. We kept getting stuck in same areas, and finally, we finally beat it. We get to the second level, and we're struggling there too. And I'm the whole time I'm talking to people, I'm yelling at them, I'm telling them good job, I'm whatever, and I'm asking them questions, and I'm trying to give advice, all this stuff. And sometimes people, you know, they respond. Sometimes they don't say anything, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, come on, you know, like I have to say something three times before they do it. And we finally hit a point where one of the guys has got to leave. He's like, you know, hey, it's been fun, but I just got to go. We're sitting in the safe room after a failed attempt at the second level again. And we're just sitting there, just chilling for a minute. And somebody asks me a direct question, and I respond. And they ask me again, and I say it again. And they go, and they type it to me, and they say, "Can you not hear me?" And I said, and I was like, "Yeah, can you hear me?" No. Apparently, since the last time I played the game, my push to talk button had been unbound. And the entire time I was playing, I was talking to myself. I was so mad. But there were so many moments.
So that time when we were playing Gears of War 3 is now no longer unique.
Oh, man. It was so bad.
Can we get a game session going with Josh where we just ignore him until... It drives him nuts. Like,
can you guys hear me?
No, really. There were just enough moments where somebody would say something that could have been a response to me.
Hey, shoot that zombie. Okay.
You know, I'm like, all right, you know, guys, we got to get up this bridge. And then somebody's like, all right, I'm coming to the bridge. You know, but it wasn't a response to me. It was just by itself. Like, all right, I'm coming to the bridge. Like, you guys should come too. So there were so many of those moments. I thought they were responding to me. And we played for hours. I mean, hours. And then finally, like, I'm like, oh my God, this whole time. And they're like, yeah, I just thought you were just being really quiet. Like, no one ever said to me, like, why aren't you on mic? Oh, man, it was awful. I felt stupid. I think it was probably the reason that we sucked so bad. Oh. So,
that's good story, though. Good story.
Yeah. That one, I was due for a dumbass moment. So, anyways. So, yeah, so we had a Halloween party this weekend. We always do this little costume party at my house. You guys weren't invited, obviously. we have limited space. So, I dressed up as Big Boss. There should be a picture of that up on my Twitter feed.
I will find it and post it for everyone.
but I always struggle to come up with a good playlist for the music for these things, because I personally listen almost exclusively to Swedish and Finnish melodic death metal.
Did you say melodic death metal?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And if you'd like to sample some, I can throw you some recommendations. Okay, so I found these dudes. Maybe if you're hip or cool, maybe you already have heard of these guys, but the Hood Internet. These dudes have some really sweet mixes of just popular shit, from hip hop to, you know, indie stuff, and it's all set to good beats you could dance to. And they have all their albums up on their website for download for free as MP3s off SoundCloud. And they have all, like, almost all their albums in full, like the 60-minute track mix. So, which I like. I always like to, you know, that's just less crap I gotta, you know, deal with. I just download five things and throw it in iTunes and go. So it was a big hit with a lot of people. It was really good. If you need some tunes for a party, check out thehoodinternet.com.
On it. I wish I had an opinion of them already, but maybe I'll give you some feedback next week.
Okay. They had a really, really sweet remix of Nothing But a G Thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cole is really excited when he's listening to this podcast right now.
I promise it's super good. Okay. And yeah, there's no comments, I'm guessing, on this. Mm-hmm. Last bit. I am testing out some Kinect stuff for work. And this is my first time in my own house setting up Kinect, playing some games without anybody else. Are you okay?
Spencer, that was the dog.
Spencer's yawning. He's over Kinect at this point.
Well, for good reason, because it sucks. God damn it. It was the worst experience.
I didn't realize you had anger built up earlier for our conversation.
Oh, man. Yeah. Man, I don't know. I'm jaded sometimes about stuff. I'm not about everything. I like stuff. I get excited and happy about things. But I just, stuff just wastes my time.
Man, stuff.
Fuck.
Am I right?
man, airline, peanut.
The government.
Okay.
Man.
This was the worst. I know you've already gone through this, but the setup was bad. You know, and I have space. I actually have just enough space, according to the all the little.
Do you have 8 feet of space?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's still like angle sucked. Like apparently, I need to clip on top of my TV to mount it.
Yeah.
Because it did a terrible job of angling itself up and down. It's supposed to do that little, you know, Johnny Five thing and look at you, follow you. It really did a poor job of that. It was at one point, it just in the middle of a game, it just pointed itself all the way to the floor, and I was like laying down on the floor in front of it, trying to get it to pick up my face and slowly move up to get it to follow me to point back up at the rest of the room. And you can't force the damn thing. Like you can't just grab it and squeeze. Oh, that was part of the problem, but just navigating the menus, the voice stuff, it's half the time would not pick up what I was saying. The whole like swipe motions and the little, you know, making the little cursor move around the screen. It was just so damn slow. All of it was just like, man, I could have had, if I'd had a mouse, it would have been over in 2 seconds. If I had a remote control or a gamepad, I would have been there in 5, you know, and it took me 30 to do it with the stupid Kinect.
And then once I got into I played a couple of games. I did the Kinect adventure stuff, which was laggy. I thought
Are you really reviewing Kinect Adventures right now?
Yes, I am. The part of the game where you're like kicking the balls down bouncing them off bales of hay or whatever the hell.
Getting in the way of the balls so they bounce off of you?
Yes, that one. It's the response time between what you do and then what your guy does on the screen is just slow enough. Not fun.
This review would have been useful last year at this.
Yeah. You know, play Fruit Ninja and talk to me later.
Play Fruit Ninja. Like, play Dance Central, because the developers that are working around the technology are making some interesting stuff. I still don't think it's...
Kinect Adventures...
...world-changing, but...
You know, it's the pack-in, you know?
But it's not as good as Wii Sports. It's frustrating, but I'm really curious how the next batch goes. Like, I feel like people wanted it to do different things or be more, have more fidelity than it does. But once they figure out how to work around it, it makes for some interesting experiences. So
if that thing was picking up like HD video of you,
I think it's awesome that they can still push changes to the Kinect now. Like, they're trying to really get finger tracking to work on it, like really to kind of increase, like I said, the fidelity of that stuff. So, I don't know. I still consider the whole thing a fucking test product at this point. Like, the final application of this technology, we haven't seen that yet. So this is just more of a, Microsoft makes it hard not to get one if you get a 360 now. Like, they're just trying to get in people's houses, and there's something that's just not offensive about the way they're doing it to me. Like, it's just, as long as I have, I really like the Fruit Ninja type of games that, the downloadable games, the smaller games that I can play around with the Kinect more so than even retail releases at this point. But
those are party games of
I would rather have those party games
variety.
I think they will do more with the Xbox Live Arcade party game releases than anything that Nintendo and its third parties did with their stupid compilations. If you're pricing that stuff a little bit like for $15 and not $30 or $40, which is what really ticked me off about the Wii stuff, like I don't mind, that's Fruit Ninja's worth $10, it's fun as hell, and there's a lot of non-gamers that'll attest to that, and sometimes I get a kick out of that. I still don't think any of the motion control stuff is meant for us and the games that we like, but there's plenty of fun applications for it. So I'm sorry it frustrated you, Josh Lee. I'm sorry you had higher expectations, actually.
I was going about it from a different point of view. Like I was saying, I was looking at stuff for work, and I needed this experience to be easy. I don't need to necessarily have fun myself playing the game, but it's got to be like, and there were some things about that experience that were not that.
The funniest thing as far as – sorry to cut you off.
No,
the funniest thing about the application of that in like – group settings or non-gamer settings or, kind of what you would be testing it for that I've come across, because I've brought it out at a handful of parties now at this point. People just don't understand the technology to the point that it's always remarkable to me. Like, people will be watching two people playing Dance Central or playing Kinect Sports, and people will just, like, walk right in front of the system or right in front of them to get through, and it'll screw up the game, and they still have no clue that that was going to happen. Like every time
they had a controller in their hands, they'd be like, "Oh, sorry."
Yeah, no, they just walk in front of it. I'm like, what? Like, obviously more people are having trouble grasping that than do grasp it. And I'm not trying to like make myself sound smart or anything, but it's just, I'm always surprised by, they don't get how that works to the point of you can't, have five people jump in on Dance Central in the freestyle mode and it automatically be ready to find the two people that were dancing originally. Like, so I have more patience with the technology than a lot of people for some reason, but it's not, unbreakable at this point. It's got a lot of quirks to it.
And well, and I know it's getting it's they've announced some of their business support stuff that they're looking to push it for businesses for communication and stuff like that. And that kind of stuff is they're interesting.
They're being a lot more progressive with it than Nintendo ever attempted to be. And that's you know, that's why I'm more drawn to it right now than any, you know, PS Move. I don't even why does that even exist at this point? And then you know, the Wii Motion stuff just I don't know. I think it was leading to Kinect, and if anything useful comes out of this technology, I think it's going to be built off of Microsoft stuff. So,
well, maybe when with both of those platforms, the SDK is being available. Well, actually, I don't, the Sony's one maybe is not. I don't know, but there was that PC game that's or it was like a beta or something. I don't know if it's actually going to be released on PC, but people were playing it with the Move controllers that. Johann Sebastian Joust, and you have to hold the Move, you know, the little ice cream cones. You got to hold them steady, like you can't let them like jostle around too much, or you know, you lose. And so you get like a room full of people holding these things. You can have up to like seven or whatever, and you're trying to get each other to you know, drop your thing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the stuff's neat, and the Kinect stuff that I've seen for the PC, that people are hacking. Some pretty neat shit there, like to do with the 3D stuff with the two cameras.
The experiments are a lot more interesting than 99% of the games out there.
So I think at some point we'll probably get a pretty cool sex game out of the Kinect on the PC.
All right! Concluding our... I think we had over 15 minutes of Kinect conversation tonight, by the way. That's really kind of funny.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. It was good stuff. And but that's I think that's it for this evening. Just another reminder, Horrible Show will be back next week live Tuesday night, November 8th, 8 p.m. Eastern on Twitch.tv/Horrible Night. And we will post the episode as normal. But thanks for sticking around with us. Josh, Justin, thanks for breaking down the headlines with me. And
my pleasure.
Word.
We'll see you next week. Later.
On the flip side.
And also, on the flip side, up high.
Down low.
You're too. Oh.